Bay Packers fans, welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We are talking some Packers football this morning, as we do every Monday, Wednesday, Friday here on Railbird Central. Thank you for joining us. If you want to join the conversation today, please tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV, and your comments will show up on our live blog. Might be the only way to participate in our conversation today online. I don't think your comments are being approved via Cover It Live today. So, gotta tweet. We got the auto-approve going on the hashtag. So, CheeseheadTV, Railbird, tweet with those hashtags. Your comments will show up. But, yeah, it's a Wednesday morning. Let's see. Training camp is, what, 8 days away right now? Next week is when the action gets started. So we're actually now less than a week away from the shareholders meeting. That'll happen on Tuesday, 1 week from today exactly. Players report to training camp. Nothing going on, but they check into their dorms, you know, over at St. Norbert College there. They might take physicals or something. But no action. That gets underway on Thursday. So 8 days away, training camp gets started. And let's get down to it. I left a link, or we always have our links in, if you look at the bottom right-hand corner of your page, to this morning's Packers Daily Links. The top story today, Graham Harrell says he's ready to take over the starting quarterback job of the Green Bay Packers if necessary. We'll leave it at that. So, showing some confidence, you know. I don't think anybody out there hopes Graham Harrell is going to be the starting quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, but cross your fingers, if something were to happen to Aaron Rodgers, or you can knock on wood, I guess, if something were to happen to Aaron Rodgers, Graham Harrell would be the starter for the Green Bay Packers at quarterback, one of the most highly scrutinized jobs in America, perhaps, the quarterback of the Packers. That is not an easy job by any means. And he's one snap away from filling that role. So there will be a lot of attention on Graham Harrell during training camp. So anyhow, in an interview with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter Ty Dunn, Harrell is quoted as saying, in response to a question about if he's ready, he says, quote, absolutely. As a quarterback, you better be confident in yourself and believe in yourself. I believe in myself. We have a great support staff and a great group of people in Green Bay. They get quarterbacks ready to play and train quarterbacks. Very true. I mean, can't you know, pick any bones with anything Graham Harrell said there. I mean, if you're going to be a quarterback in the NFL, especially a young one coming up like Graham Harrell or like B.J. Coleman, Green Bay has got to be just about one of the best places to develop in the entire NFL. I mean, the way head coach Mike McCarthy runs things, the way he runs his quarterback camp, the coaching staff the Packers have, from offensive coordinator Tom Clements to new quarterbacks coach Ben McAdoo, and certainly Ben McAdoo has a lot to prove as a quarterbacks coach, but regardless, still a great, you know, just look at the way Aaron Rodgers has developed. Look at the way Matt Flynn has developed, now signing as a free agent for millions and millions of dollars with the Seattle Seahawks. Perhaps not as much as like a Drew Brees, but anyhow, getting his chance to become a starter. So, yeah, without a doubt, Green Bay is a good place to develop and come up through the system, and a good place to get ready. And there will be a lot of attention next week, about 1 week from this time or so, just a little more, when Graham Harrell hits the practice field and finding out if he's ready to lead the Packers if necessary. Again, nobody really hopes that happens, but everybody does hope he is ready if his number is called. So best of luck to Graham Harrell as he prepares for training camp and his new job as the number two QB in Green Bay. So that'll be one of the biggest things worth watching during training camp. If you're heading over to training camp in Green Bay this summer, this late July or August at Ray Nitschke Field there, that'll be one thing to have your binoculars on, see how Graham Harrell performs. And it'll especially be cool if he ever gets some opportunities, some chances to lead the number one offense during practice, or even during a preseason game for that matter. That'd be really cool. I think everybody's pretty confident in Aaron Rodgers right now. I don't need to see what Aaron Rodgers really has, you know, during this time of year. I know he's going to be good. But it'll be kind of cool if Graham Harrell gets a chance to lead the number one offense just once in a while. I realize you still got to prepare Aaron Rodgers for the season, and he's going to get the large bulk of the snaps in practice and in preseason games with the number ones, with the ones. But yeah, it'll be cool to see Graham Harrell. Beyond that, I think one of the biggest stories yesterday was one we had here at CheeseheadTV.com. And not to toot my own horn or anything, but I think it was a pretty large story about the possibility, the potential of Packers players going off Twitter en masse. Many players going off Twitter as training camp starts, as the season begins here. I had the opportunity to interview tight end Tom Crabtree over the phone and talk to him and find out, you know, what's going on. Because if you, I mean, you know, obviously I'm speaking to a lot of internet literate viewers, listeners to this show. If you're listening to this show, you're probably involved in social media of some sort. I'm making an assumption here, but I don't think I'm going out on a limb. You probably follow these Packers players on Twitter. Many of them are involved. Tight end Tom Crabtree, one of the most prolific. I think it, for my story, I think I counted or looked it up. He's got over 13,000 tweets over his lifetime. And so, yeah, he uses that, you know, platform a lot. And kind of surprised people, I think, when he just announced this past weekend, I think it was, that he'd be going off Twitter starting in training camp for the most part. He left himself open to, you know, tweeting the occasional charity update, or he's now hosting Clubhouse Live this season and wants to give updates every now and again. But, you know, for the most part, his daily musings, his daily postings, random, you know, just conversations with fans and people. Going to take a little bit of a hiatus and focus on football. And beyond just Tom himself, Tom says he only speaks for himself and, you know, he's not guaranteeing anything's going to happen for any other players, but gets a good feeling that he's not going to be the only one doing this, that other Packers players will be soon following him and going off Twitter and focusing on the football field. So will be interesting to see if that's happened. Of course, high-profile guy, quarterback Aaron Rodgers, has done that before. I think the past two seasons, correct? Aaron Rodgers has, you know, when the season starts, he stops his Twitter, he stops posting, and I think without exception, doesn't begin again until the season is done. And kind of during the off-season time frame, he takes part, does a little posting here and there. So, you know, it's been done before, and be interesting to see to what extent other players take part. Tom Crabtree saying how at times, it can get rather negative. It can get, some people kind of say mean things like that. You know, if you happen to make a mistake during a football game, it's not always pretty. People will say very rude things out there. I mean, we've seen it before with, I think, if I'm correct, Mike Freeman of CBSSports.com wrote a column, or was it a blog post, whatever it was, about JerMichael Finley and Twitter and just the vicious stuff that people had told him, not only him, but his wife as well. And I mean, say what you will about JerMichael Finley being a outspoken person. I think JerMichael Finley makes many mistakes in things he says and blah, blah, blah. But he does not deserve, I don't think, to be told some of the things I've seen and read on Twitter. So, it's a shame that things like that happening. But, you know, that's why the Packers players, for one, I mean, that's maybe one reason they would go off Twitter, you know, take a little bit of a break, maybe only do it during the off-season time frame. But beyond that, you know, it's just to focus on football. It's to, you know, get rid of distractions. It's to, it's something that does become a little bit of an addiction. You know, I think you can sometimes probably check your social media a little bit too much, whether it's Twitter or Facebook or whatever. And you know, it's just something, you know, get rid of one of those distractions and you know, you'll be a more productive person in general. I think that goes for everyone, not just football players, myself included. I probably myself spend too much time on Twitter, Facebook, you name it. So, it's kind of appropriate here that we talked to Tom Crabtree, because the rest of this episode here, we're going to be previewing the tight end position and going to have a guest on the show here. Alex Talich of First String Public Relations represents Packers tight end Tom Crabtree. So we're going to take a break here. I'm going to get Alex on the line. We're going to talk to him about Tom Crabtree, about the tight ends, and come back here shortly. So stick with us. We'll be right back, and we'll get into a little bit of a tight end discussion here. Hang on. Welcome back to Railbird Central here on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, and joining me right now on the phone, we have Alex Talich of First String Public Relations, represents Packers tight end Tom Crabtree. Alex, how you doing today?
Brian Caravu, how are you?
I'm doing really good. How about yourself?
Good.
Good, good.
Can't complain.
Good, good.
Almost football.
We all do. I think it's appropriate that on the day we're talking about tight ends here on Railbird Central, we get you as a guest and talk about your client here. Tell me a little bit about Tom's decision here to have a little bit of a social media hiatus.
Well, you know, and I think you touched about it a lot, you know, as you were talking about, and there's just too much right now. And the guy's going, you know, I'll tell you a little story just from talking to Tom, and that's all I know. He was trying to explain to me what it takes to focus on an NFL season. And I still don't get it, to be honest with you, but he was going through it, and it almost sounds like what you would be if you were a brain surgeon. He's like, your mental attitude has to be so on top of your game, and you have to be so focused that it's just time for him to eliminate some of that, you know, backdraft. And he loves talking to the fans, of course, but, you know, like you said with JerMichael, or like anything else, you know, one little thing or just reading too much negative can really take you out of your zone. And, you know, we had a long discussion about it, you know, from a PR standpoint and from everything else too, you know, because Tom really wants to interact with the fans and obviously love and is admittedly addicted to Twitter, you know, but it came down to here's his shot right now and he wants to focus. And I think that speaks volumes about him. And I also think it speaks volumes about what he thinks the Packers are going to expect from him this season. So I think it's a good call.
Tom did leave open the possibility to tweet every now and then about his charity efforts, and I did see just the other day, it looks like he's got a charity signing or something coming up just in the next couple days. Do you have any details on that?
Tomorrow, actually. He's going to be at the Goodwill in Menasha with Frank Zombo and Brandon Sane signing autographs from 1 to 2. So everyone stop down there. That's actually tomorrow, 1 to 2.
Very cool.
And he'll be down there with those three guys and you can bring what you need and, you know, they'll sign it for you.
I'm only about an hour drive away or so from Menasha. Maybe I'll have to stop by. We'll see. I don't know if I'll have time tomorrow or not, but really cool. So, I mean, you know, Tom...
Give me a Crabtree signature. I need one.
Okay. I mean, Tom said he would kind of leave himself open to doing things like charity and also promoting his new show this year. What's his new show all about?
Well, if you're familiar with the Packers blogosphere, I guess, the Press Gazette in Appleton has a show called Clubhouse Live. They've had it for a few seasons now. It's actually a live show that they filmed down at the Paper Valley Hotel in Appleton. And this year will be the first year. It's always been two hosts, two guys from the Press Gazette. And this year they approached Tom and wanted him to be a weekly host along with those guys. He'd been down there a few times and got some good response, and they also really want to build their internet portion of the show as well, and Tom's a perfect guy to do that. So he'll be down there once a week, talking Packers, playing his guitar, having fun. It won't be your X's and O's shows by any means, so it should be a lot of fun. And we'll promote that and talk about it, and we're definitely looking forward to having some fun with the show this year.
Cool. Yeah, I'm excited to watch him every now and again on Clubhouse Live. Let's talk about
that. There may be, and I'll let you in on this, there may be what Tom might have tweeted if he was on Twitter segment on that show. So if you are missing Tom on Twitter, make sure and check out Clubhouse Live.
What Tom might have tweeted. I can only imagine what that would be. Let's talk a little bit about the tight ends here, seeing as I think it's appropriate. You know, obviously you're biased. You have a client and you have a guy who's, I'm sure you want the best for Tom and everything.
I'm a Packer fan too, so
yeah, I mean,
with the tough stuff.
Where does Tom fit into the tight end picture? I mean, obviously we know he is the blocking tight end. He's probably the best guy at that aspect of the game that could be at that position.
Correct, and I think that that's important to know that you got to look at it schematically also. You know, you got your Michael out there. He's going to do his thing. He's going to be the route runner. He's going to take guys downfield, and you know, you're in your two tight end sets. Or when Finley starts moving out, you're going to want to have that blocking guy in there, and that's certainly Tom's role, you know. And, you know, I don't know anything about the depth chart, of course, but, you know, the Packers' depth chart has him at number two, and I haven't heard or seen anything that makes me think that that's going to change. And, of course, that may be a little bit biased, but, you know, that's just a fact. And if you look at it from a playbook standpoint, you know, that's the guy they need in there at the second tight end in most situations.
You know, where does, I don't know if Tom has talked about this, but, you know, where does Andrew Corliss fit in? I mean, is he going to be okay, do you think? I mean, I don't know what to think there, even if he's still healthy, if he's going to come back this training camp. Do you have any clue, any idea?
Well, I think you have to count him in, and I'm sure the Packers will give him a chance, and no matter what. I mean, the thing you got to realize this year, I think, with Corliss is that the IR rules have changed. So they can put him on IR. He can come back at a little different time than in the past. And considering that he was doing such a great job when he went down, and, you know, admittedly, I'm sure Tom would even agree with that. I wouldn't know. We don't talk about that as much. But, you know, I'm sure the Packers will give him his fair shot. And, you know, that's a big injury, though, so it'll take some time. But I think with the IR rules being different, that certainly helps Corliss's effort. or you know, safety with the team.
That is interesting that you brought that up. I kind of forget about that a little bit, but I mean, what are the injured reserve rules now? So they can put one, they can only have one player, right, on injured reserve, and they can come back later in the season. Is that the way I understand it?
I'm not sure what the limit is, but that's basically how it works. You know, it's you know, there's the pup list, you know, that, of course, you know, goes into the 6 weeks, which he could be on. But if they don't think he can, he's certainly a candidate to be on IR, and I think he can come back any time then during the season. I would have to check on the limit. I guess I'm not an expert on that, but I know it's in course of situation that, you know, that could certainly play a factor.
Very cool. Well, Alex, any other upcoming Tom Crabtree events or charity or anything coming up this season for fans to look forward to?
You know, we're gonna play it chill right now. Kevin Thomas made it pretty clear that you know, he's gonna focus on football, and of course he's a restricted free agent next year, and it's pertinent for him to have a good season, and you know, this could be his chance. So he's going to do everything he can to, you know, be the best football player he can, and hopefully that happens. And I think if that does, you'll hear a lot more about Tom Crabtree in the future.
That's another good point as well, too. Tom going to be a free agent, restricted, albeit, but of course, players always look forward to that contract season. They want to have a good season prior to becoming to a free agent, because it's only going to help them get that next contract. Alex, thank you for joining us this morning. Thanks for talking a little Packers football, a little bit about the tight ends, and about Tom Crabtree.
Always a pleasure, dude. I'll see you later.
Yeah, see ya. Alex Talich of First String Public Relations joining us on the show, talking Packers tight end. Let's continue that conversation here. I see some comments here on the live blog, and thanks for using the hashtag, guys. I know we're kind of nothing's being approved comments on Cover It Live, so if you tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags Cheesehead TV, those comments pop up. Mark saying, in my opinion, the Packers keep four, cut one, if Corliss comes off of the pup list. So, going to see what the Packers do here with all these tight ends. Of course, last year, you know, they kept five, which was, you know, rather unbelievable almost, almost unheard of for a team to keep five tight ends. Kevin saying he hopes Corliss recovers fully. You know, the Packers have kind of said in interviews in the past, they kind of view fullbacks and tight ends a little bit the same way. They kind of like to maybe keep six of them sometimes, but between the two positions. Because, of course, I mean, these guys a little bit cross-trained to an extent. You frequently see a guy like Tom Crabtree line up in the backfield, you know, DJ Williams, Ryan Taylor. These guys do that from time to time. And you know, at the other end of the spectrum as well, I mean, you got JerMichael Finley, a guy who's called a tight end, but he's not always lined up tight, is he? He's probably more frequently lined up to the outside as almost a big wide receiver. So, you know, this, I always think tight end is kind of like the most hard to define position in the entire NFL, because it's so multiple, so... you know, they call some of these guys H-backs. I think it's really got to be a hard job for, like, a position coach. Like, now this year's new coach, Jerry Fontenot, taking over the tight end since Ben McAdoo is now the quarterback's coach. Really a tough job for a guy like him to coach all these guys with different skill sets. You got a guy like JerMichael Finley who's lining out wide, and at the same time, you got to coach him at the same time as Tom Crabtree, who almost is never lined up wide. He's always in tight or in the backfield. So, I mean, it really is weird. You know, kind of just going through all these guys quickly here. I mean, JerMichael Finley, your number one tight end, the guy who sees the most playing time, the guy who, you know, got a contract this offseason. People have dogged him about drops last year. I really think that's an overrated criticism, because for the first three and a half years of his career, never had a problem with drops, or at least no more so than any other regular player in the NFL. Yes, I admit JerMichael Finley had some drop issues in 2011, but I just don't think it's going to be a lingering issue that plagues him the rest of his career. He's a guy that creates matchup problems. He's a big target. I think he really could join the elite tight ends in the NFL this year. He's hurt a little bit because it's just such a deep and good receiving core that, you know, he may not always get a ton of receptions. I mean, there's going to be balls going to guys like Greg Jennings, Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, you name it, elsewhere. So the ball is spread around a little bit. But I really think JerMichael Finley could be due for almost a breakout season if he can just become a little bit more consistent. Tom Crabtree's your blocking tight end. Yes, he gets involved a little bit here and there in the passing game. Caught a touchdown last year. Caught that big touchdown in the playoffs against the Philadelphia Eagles on the way to the Super Bowl 2 years ago. But really, you know, your guy who's your blocker, you know, your guy who lines up in the backfield and, is a fullback at times, lines up tight, and you know, that's his job. That's his calling card. And if I'm going to come up with the criticism of Tom Crabtree, albeit I thank Alex Talich's representative for coming on our show today, and it's no disrespect to Tom. Tom did have the drop in the playoff game last year, and he wasn't alone. He wasn't the only one to drop the football. But when such limited opportunities come his way to catch the football, he's got to make them count. He's got to make him count, and certainly, again, he's not alone, but, just saying the positive and the negative of all players here, not Tom Crabtree alone or JerMichael Finley alone. Andrew Corliss last year was really having a nice season until his injury. Really nice. Really came on as a blocker, I think everybody saw. But also got a little bit involved in the passing game here and there. Him and Tom Crabtree are somewhat alike in that regard. Andrew Corliss being a little bit taller, though, perhaps a little bit more of a red zone type of target, something like that. But then, of course, has the devastating knee injury, which it appears to be multiple ligaments damage there. Who knows where he really is in his recovery? I'm not sure he comes back 100%, at least right away. You know, it could be one of those things where he goes on the PUP list or he goes on injured reserve. Who knows? This is just kind of the thing we wait and see as training camp plays itself out. We wait and see where he's at. We don't know. The two young guys on the team, the two sophomores, both draft choices last year, DJ Williams and Ryan Taylor. DJ Williams was, of course, the prolific college pass catching tight end at Arkansas. Mark on the live blog says DJ Williams is my pick to surprise people. You know, he certainly got the talent. He could make an impact there in the passing game. DJ Williams, his criticism, got to be more consistent. There were several times where you hear he makes a mistake. Wasn't it one time during a game he lined up in the wrong spot and Aaron Rodgers, you could see, was like yelling at him, motioning at him to move over. Can't have mental mistakes like that in the NFL. You got to be assignment sure. You got to know your job. Ryan Taylor, a core special teams player, started to come along more and more as the season went along. Started to get a little bit bigger role on offense. Caught a touchdown last year in the Oakland Raiders game. Just played sparingly for the most part. Obviously, he's got a long way to develop. He didn't play a whole ton of tight end in college. So, I mean, he just really raw right now. But does, I think, have the potential to be a bigger cog in the Packers offense. I just really think Ryan Taylor moves well for his size. He's a big guy, 6'3", 250 plus pounds. I think he moves well for his size, and if he can develop, he can be a bigger part of the Packers' offense than people think. Packers signed two undrafted tight ends this year. Eric Lair out of the University of Minnesota. Brandon Bostic out of an FCS school. I'm not even sure I remember off the top of my head where that Bostic kid went to college. They're long shots. Really, the Packers have five guys on the roster already who made the 53, last year. So if they're going to unseat one of these guys, it's going to take quite a job. I mean, we'll see what they've got in training camp, but man, these guys are long shots of the long shots. Who knows if injury occurs, or maybe they're so good that they could get a practice squad spot, perhaps. But we will see. We don't know much about them yet. We'll find out training camp less than a week away. So that's today's show on Railbird Central here. I appreciate Alex Talich of First String Public Relations coming to talk to us about the tight ends and his client Tom Crabtree on our show. We'll be back once again on Friday to continue our position previews here at Railbird Central. We'll be talking about the offensive line on Friday and then get into the defense next week. So on behalf of everyone here at Cheesehead TV, my name is Brian Caravu. Come back to check out our coverage all week long here at Cheesehead TV for your latest Packers news, etc. Again, I'm Brian Caravu. We'll see you later, everyone. Go Pack Go. I leave you today with a song called Nothing Too Fancy by Humphreys McGee on Cy Fidelity Records. See you, everyone. Go Pack Go.